We've been talking on from this day forward. Let me just one more time tell you, we're using a book by Pastor Craig and Amy Groeschel. It is a fantastic book. There's no way we're touching even a third of what's in this book. I would encourage you to get this. You can order it online or pick it up at your bookstore. It is a great, great resource tool for you, not just in marriage, but really in relationships in general. And so we're excited about that. Let me just talk to our campuses just for a moment. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And week in and week out, we get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ from this stage to wherever you are. And so I'm grateful you're there today. Let me just remind you that we close this series out from this day forward next Sunday. And one thing that we're doing at every location, and I want to encourage those of you who are here as well as those of you who are at other locations, we're going to be having a vow renewal for husbands and wives at the end of the service next week. And so not just at this location, but every campus is going to be doing this. And I hope that you've already signed up for it. If you haven't, I would encourage every couple to do this. You say, well, we've been married so long. Well, you kind of need to renew it, right? Well, we just got married last week. You really need to renew it, okay? Take your Bibles today and go to the book of Hebrews, if you would. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament is where we're going to be starting today. And as you're doing that, let me just remind you what we've been talking about over the past few weeks. The first week, we talked about that in marriage, that you've got to stay connected with God. We talked about seeking God first. That had to be the primary thing that we were doing. The second week, we talked about fighting fair. All right? Because here's what we know, that if there's more than one person involved, there's going to be some disagreements. Right? And so we talked about how to make that a good thing and not a negative thing, not a destructive thing. Then last week we talked about having fun. And boy, did we ever have fun last week. In fact, we couldn't keep up with the CD sales last week. That's all I'm going to say about that sermon. And if you haven't heard it, you just have to, because I'm not repeating that for a long time. All right? Today, we're going to talk about staying pure. Okay? And let me say this before I even read the scripture today. Understand that I'm coming today from a biblical perspective. I believe that the Word of God gives us direction about every aspect of life. And so what I'm going to talk about today is going to be countercultural. It is not going to fit within the scenario of what we see day in and day out in our society. I'm going to be talking to us today about what the Word of God says about sexual purity and how that we are to live as believers in this place where God wants us to. And so I want you to look in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4 says this: marriage should be honored by, what's that next word? All. Do you see that? Because it's important. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Now, here's what I want to kind of start with today. When you read that word all, what does all mean? Well, all means that marriage should be honored by those who are in marriage, that we ought to make sure that we keep the marriage covenant pure, that we are making sure that we respond in the right way and the proper way in our marriage and in every aspect of marriage, that our heart and our affections don't get turned to somebody else, but that we keep them in the marriage. Our desires stay in the marriage. That's what the scripture is talking about. But it's not talking about just those who are in marriage. It says that all, everybody, should look at life, and you should look at marriage, and you should look at sexuality in the sense that God says to us, all of us are to honor this, and all of us are to keep this pure. Now, here's what I want to say to you. Purity matters in your marriage, okay? Whether that's the marriage you're in right now, or one day when you get married and you're hoping down the road that's going to happen, then marriage is important, but purity in that marriage is also important. Here's what we find, that people enter into marriage with all kind of ideas. How many of you had some ideas going into marriage that changed really quick? Heavenly Father, there's a lot of liars here today. We just ask for complete forgiveness right now. All right? Come on. Really? You're afraid to raise your hand? Come on. Look, when you enter into marriage, there was some, you thought some things, you had some ideas, and it didn't always, you know, it wasn't whatever, and there were some transitions, some changes that took place. Here's what we see, when you begin to study in dating, let's talk about dating for a minute, because this is about dating as well as marriage. When you begin to look at dating, what we find is that the number one reason that dating couples break up, the number one reason that's cited across the board is unfaithfulness. That person that they're dating is unfaithful to them in some form, some fashion. And so what happens because of that is that now what we do is that, and if I can use a term for you, is that we set ourselves up and we are practicing for divorce. You say, what do you mean? Well, in our society, in the way that we are doing things, what's happening is that we find ourselves doing things, and we'll drill down into this in a few moments, but we find ourselves doing things that we should not do, and what happens to us is that, let me say it this way, nobody goes into marriage, I hope, nobody goes into marriage thinking, man, I can't wait until I can commit adultery, right? I can't wait until I get a porn addiction. I can't wait until I can have a friend with benefits. I can't wait, you know, this, that, or the other. I'm hoping and I'm believing that people just don't go into marriage thinking that. But what we find is that we find that a lot of people, even though that's not what they went into marriage wanting, that their lifestyle moves into that and they begin to find out that their lives are broken. Now, here's what I want to say to us today. We live in a world, and are you ready? We live in a world that is sexually broken. That was a wonderful place for amen. We live in a society that is sexually broken. We are broken at many levels, and I'm going to talk about some of that today. But we find ourselves struggling. We find our marriages struggling. We find our relationships struggling because of the brokenness that we have within our lives. And so we're in this process in the sense of practicing for divorce. Here's the aspect of adultery that's interesting to me. They have done a survey in America, and across the board, not for Christians, but across the board, they ask Americans, do you believe that adultery is always wrong? Now, interesting is that 90% of Americans said, we believe that adultery is always wrong. Now, I thought that was a pretty good number, that, you know, only 10% said, nah, it's no big deal, just do what you want. But what's interesting is the University of California at San Francisco, of all places, did research from 1998 to 2008, and what they found is that the rate of adultery doubled in 10 years. Have I got your attention yet? Everybody's saying we believe that adultery is wrong, but in 10 years we found in our society, in America, that the rate of adultery is doubling in 10 years' time. Now, I don't know if that says anything to anybody, but it said a whole lot to me when I begin to look at that. And so why is that happening? Why are we having so many divorces? Why, you know, divorce used to be pretty unheard of. Divorce was not something, even in my day, and I know some of you think I'm ancient, but I'm really not that old. I just look that old, okay? I've been pastoring a long time, and it's kind of like being the president. You know, you go gray and lose your hair, and right? The process is this, is I can remember in about the fourth grade, there was only one girl in my whole class that was from a divorced home. Now it's the norm instead of an exception. Why? Because there are all kind of things that are happening that are coming against our society. So let me talk about the first reason that I think, as we look at this, why people commit adultery, why it's happening more and more in our society, why we're seeing it even double in 10 years' time. And that is, I believe, and some of you may not agree, but let me drill down into it, I believe that we face more temptation now than people have ever faced in their life. Now, you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, how many of you know that this device is a wonderful device? I mean, Steve Jobs and Apple and whoever, all of them, this is a wonderful one. I mean, I can pull up statistics. I can pull up information. How many of you have been driving down the road and a song came on and you Google it? This is a wonderful device. But how many of you also know this device will get you in trouble? Right? I mean, it takes one click on the wrong site, and hours later you wake up and realize what you've done. Or you get on Facebook. Now, pastor's not against Facebook. Well, I guess I am. I'm not on Facebook. I can, you know, that's one thing. I don't need 5,000 friends. I don't know what you do with 5,000 friends. Right? But I'm not on Facebook. But here's what I know is that I know that time and time again, I will hear of people who wind up divorced, who wind up in adultery, who wind up in a mess because of Facebook. Maybe it's somebody you're following on Instagram. Maybe it's somebody, and all of a sudden your heart begins to be drawn to somebody you shouldn't be drawn to. Now, let me say this to you. It's not the iPad's fault, and it's not Facebook's fault. It's our fault. It's our unwillingness to live the way that God told us to live. So we have to come to that place where we deal with these issues of temptation. They are out there. What are we going to do about them, and how are we going to live? And I want to talk to us today about holiness. Now, I know it's a kind of an old-fashioned term, but I want to say to you today that it's very, very vital that we understand that we serve a holy God, and the Scripture says, without holiness, no man will see God. So it's important for us that we come to a place in our lives, and I'm going to give you some scriptures in a few minutes that prove this, but that we come to a place of understanding that it is vitally important how you and I live life and what we do with our body and what we do sexually, and if we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves in a mess. And so we see that because of the you know, all the technological advances and all the things that are happening, that temptation is right at hand. I mean, you know, used to you had to go somewhere and sneak in and buy something and not get caught. Now it's there. It's everywhere. It is at the drop of a hat. It's involved in your life. And so you have to be careful about it. Another reason that I think that there's more temptation today than there has been in the past is that people are waiting longer to get married. The average age now is about 27 to 29 for people to get married. Now, I'm not telling you you ought to get married young. I don't want all these 16-year-olds to start looking. All right? I'm not saying that, but here's what I know. Because we are waiting longer and longer to get married, here's what I found is that we find ourselves going from relationship to relationship. And so how many of you remember, and I don't know if you wouldn't respond on that last question I asked you, so let's see if you'll respond on this one. How many of you remember the first time you told somebody you loved them? That wasn't your mom and daddy. Right? Your heart was racing. It was beating. And you were, especially if you were the first one to say it, you were freaking out. Are they going to say it back? And if I put it out there, and they just kind of smile, what am I going to do with that? And, you know, all this kind of stuff that's out there. And yeah, what happens is, you know, the first time it's kind of a big deal, you know, then that relationship ends and you move on to the next one, you move on to the next one. I mean, you know, by about the fifth or sixth one, it's like you get in the car, slam the door, I love you, let's go. Right? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like it's not that big a deal anymore because we've already crossed that boundary. We've already done that. Now, the problem with that is this, and understand what I'm saying. When I say that we're practicing for divorce, and that is this, is that we find ourselves in that moment. We say we love. We say we're committed. We say all those things, and then things get rough. Something doesn't go the way that we want it to, and we just say, hey, I'm out of here, because we are at that point, thank God, we are not committed to that relationship, and so we walk away. The problem with that is that now we have set a pattern in our life that one day we're going to find that person. One day we're going to come into the relationship with the one that we're going to spend our life with. And if we've already set this up time after time after time after time, guess what? We've just been practicing for divorce. Because if we set it to this one, goodbye, and to that one, goodbye, and to the other one, goodbye, then we find ourselves easily saying it to one that we're married to. See, there's the whole aspect here that you find with even couples that are dating, that it seems like the dating relationship and the breakup is so painful. And I got to think about that. Why is it so painful these days when people break up? Well, here's what I'm going to say, and just understand what I mean here. It's because people who aren't married are doing married things. Now, we're going to talk about sexuality for a minute. I might as well talk about it because I promise you the world's talking about it. I pulled up the Billboard Top 100 Songs in America this week and looked at the lyrics of just a few of them. Trust me, I didn't look at all 100. I'd had to repent for 7 weeks. I was blown away. I was blown away. First of all, I thought The Weeknd was a couple of days. I didn't know it was somebody. So I looked at that song, The Hills, Help Us, Jesus. I mean, back in my day, there was a comedian called George Carlin. Anybody remember George Carlin? You shouldn't have watched him or listened to him, but, right? George Carlin did this thing years ago about the 7 words you couldn't say on television. I think that song had new ones in there that I'd never heard of before. I went, whoa, you can say that? That can be in a song? Good Lord, help us, Jesus. And, right? See, here's what we have to understand, is that our world is pushing us at every level against holiness and righteousness. We are being told at every level that it's okay, do what you want to do, it doesn't matter, and yet the Word of God talks to us time and time again about our sexuality. Now, here's what I want to say to you. The Scripture clearly says that any sex, and listen to what Pastor is saying, any sexual relations outside of marriage, according to the Word of God, is a sin. Any of them. It does not matter. If it is outside the bonds of marriage, it is a sin. And when you begin to study the Scripture, what you find is that the Word of God, when it gives injunctions to us as far as to a married couple, it is always to a husband and a wife that have come together in the bonds of matrimony. And in that, God says, here's how I want you to respond, here's how I want you to act, and here's what I want you to do. Now, I know, and please hear Pastor well, I know that we live in a nation where to say anything similar to what I've just said is called hatred, and it's called what? I don't hate anybody. I am not against anyone. I am not against anybody who is trapped in any kind of sexual sin, but I am not your friend if I don't tell you what the Word of God says and how God says that we are to live. See, basically, there's two kinds of purity. Let's talk about them. There's inward purity and there's outward purity, right? And we understand that. Inward purity means what's going on in my heart. It's the things that I think about. It's the things that I feel. It's that inward part of my life. Outward purity is our behavior. It's the things that I choose to do or the things that I choose not to do. Now, interestingly, when you begin to read the Scripture, you find out what the Word of God says. Listen to what the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. I'm just going to read a little bit of this passage. It says, but among you there must not be even a hint. You see that word? Even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. And I'm going to stop right there. The Word of God is saying to us, listen, there's not to even be a hint of it in your life. Why is God saying that to us? Because He knows that there is a toxicity that happens in our bodies when we begin to take things into our bodies that we don't need. And your body literally can become toxic against itself if you take the wrong thing in. And so you're eating something and you don't know that it's bad for you, and you eat it, and at first it doesn't do much, and you eat it longer and longer and longer, and your body literally begins to fight itself because there's this poison that is built up inside of you. It's the same way sexually. When we disobey the Word of God and we do what we want to, because listen, the world tells you, do whatever it is makes you feel good. Right? I mean, can I give you, let me just give you 2 words real quick, all right? Write these down if you're taking notes. 2 words. Sexual sacrifice. Bet you never heard those words before, have you, together? Sexual sacrifice. Now, this is something that we're going to have to start talking about in the body of Christ. Because we are told in society, do whatever you want to, with whoever you want to, whenever you want to. And yet the Word of God says, no, there's a way to express your sexuality, and you need to learn how to do that under the mandate of the Word of God. Well, Pastor, you got to understand, I'm wired this way, or I'm wired that way. Now, let me say this to you. I don't want anybody to feel condemned about what Pastor is preaching today, because here's what I would say to you. If we were to somehow be able to turn the lights off in this building, now that part I can do, we could turn the lights off, or at our campuses, and turn the lights off, and then just say, now, Holy Spirit, anybody today that has had a wrong sexual thought, or has seen something sexually they shouldn't have, or has done something sexually that they should not have, just let a light bulb come up over their head. Hallelujah. We could cut our light bill every week, couldn't we? I mean, you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, all these 400-watt light bulbs. We'd have them all over the place. All right. Now, next week, we'd have about a tenth of the crowd, but at least one week, we'd have a glorious day, right? So what I'm saying to us is this, is that, again, that we are a nation, we are a people, and I don't think it started with us. I think you study Scripture, you go back into the Word of God, and you will find out that overall, mankind has been sexually broken almost from the beginning. And we see that. We see that being lived out. And so it's not something that's new, it's just something that's changed with what's happened in society. I mean, think about what's happened in the last 100 years. Contraception came along, and all of a sudden we said, you know what, sexuality and experiencing sexuality is not for procreation, it's just for recreation. And so we move the dial a little bit. And then all of a sudden we found out don't be worried about marrying somebody. Good Lord, you want to marry them now because they're not going to get pregnant. So just go ahead and just, you know, whatever with whoever, whenever, right? And so then all of a sudden we twisted the dial up a little bit more. And then all of a sudden we even divorced it from that, and we got pornography during, the Hugh Hefner and all that thing that came in. And then all of a sudden, we didn't even need a person anymore. We just needed an image. And again, the whole aspect and what's happened to us, especially in the last 50 years in America and the Western world, is that we are, by and large, entering into marriages broken. And this is not one of those sermons. It's interesting. Last week on Having Fun, we couldn't hardly make enough CDs to keep up with the order. This week, I doubt if we're going to have that kind of problem today with this sermon. But here's what we have to understand. We live in a world that's sexually broken. But we've got to come to the place of understanding that God has called us to live a life not only of inward purity, but of outward purity as well. God does care. In fact, let me just read to you some scriptures. The book of 1 Corinthians says this, flee from sexual immorality. It says that all other sins that a person commits are outside of the body except the sin that you do sexually. That sin is against your own body. Now think about that. That's interesting. It's saying if you get drunk, if you do whatever, if you get high, that's not going to affect you the same way that when you violate God's word about marriage and sexuality does to you. Why? Because people say, well, now, Pastor, you're just old-fashioned. Don't you try out a car before you buy it? Huh, really? I'm not the brightest guy around, but last time I checked, a car and a human being are nowhere close to being the same. Right? I mean, really? You're comparing somebody you're going to marry and spend life with to a car? No. They're a spirit, they have a soul, and they live in a body. There's something totally different about them. And when you cross that boundary line, what you find yourself in is that you find yourself giving away bits and pieces of your heart and your soul, and sometimes we don't ever see that becoming whole ever again. And it's easy. Listen, I understand, especially those of you who are younger than I am today, you kind of say, man, that's old-fashioned, and pastor's just kind of out of touch and all of this. But listen to what God says. God says, don't you know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? The Word of God says that you are not your own, but that you have been bought with a price. And look what it says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. bodies. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to deal with this issue because we all know that there are struggles in our own lives and the lives of our friends and our loved ones. And so we'd rather just put our head in the sand and say it doesn't really matter. And then people come along and they say, well, Pastor, you got to understand. All Jesus did was talk about love, right? I mean, can you, what do you mean that you ought to live holy and you ought to live righteous and you ought to do, come on, Jesus loved everybody. Can I read to you a few words of Jesus? That'd be all right. Just, I won't read a lot. I'll just give you a few of his words. Listen to what he says. He said, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. Where's that loving guy? If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose a part of your body than to go into hell whole. Can I just talk to us? I know this is a rough sermon. I understand that. But I want to talk to you just for a minute. You're going to live upon this earth 70, 75 years. You might get 85, some of you 90, some of you praying for 100. I'm praying for Jesus to come. You know, whatever it is you're doing. I want to talk to you a minute, because here's what we say. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I just can't control it. I got needs, Pastor. No, that's what a dog does, people. I'm not trying to be rude. That's what an animal does. As human beings, we're made, the Bible says we're made higher than the animal world. We're created in the image and the likeness of God. Amen? And so we have a choice we can make. And so we live in this world. We live kind of in this muddy place that we don't deal with our weaknesses. Let me say this to you. You know what your weaknesses are. Right? You don't need anybody to come tell you. Don't anybody come, tell me what you're... No. You know what they are. Now, here's what you've got to do, is you've got to summon the courage in this moment to find the solutions now. You know, you can't wait till you're in the middle of temptation and go, oh, Jesus, help me out. No, you need to set some parameters before you get there. So there's this inward purity that's got to come into our life. We need to allow God to transform us on the inside. We need him to change us on the inside so that we can live the way that he wants us to live, and that we can be obedient to him in everything that he has told us to. The book of Psalm, the 119th chapter, beginning in verse 9 through verse 11, is something that everybody ought to have in their life. And here's what it says. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now here's some strategies that I want to give you today out of that passage of Scripture. Number one, you ready? Number one is know what God's Word says. What does God say biblically? I'm not talking about what everybody else is saying. All right? I can't answer. Listen, come close. Listen to me. I feel like Charles Stanley. Listen. All right? I'm not talking to people who don't believe in the Word of God. If you don't believe in the Word of God today, what I'm talking about is not going to relate to you at all. But if you are a Christian, if you call yourself a believer in Jesus Christ and in His Word, then you've got to be willing to take the parts you like as well as those parts you don't like. What does God's Word say about sexuality? Secondly, we've got to maintain our desires for God's pure standards. David said this, "Don't let me stray from your commands." Nobody valued their spouse while they were committing adultery. Oh, I love my wife. I love my husband. But, you know, no. At that moment, you weren't valuing them. And the Word of God tells us that we are to value them. We're to respond. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It says that wives are to love their husbands. I mean, these are those aspects that we miss. Thirdly, here's what we got to do. The third thing is you've got to maintain your relationship with God. He said, I'm going to seek you. What's he talking about? He said, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with you because I want you to talk to me and I want you to speak into my life. Here's what I found out, and I think most of us know this. The seeds of sin are planted long before they bloom into adultery. It may happen, but I don't think most people just meet somebody and let's go have a good time. No, it develops. It takes time. It's a process. Can I quote some more Jesus to you? You know that loving guy? Here's what Jesus said. He said, you've heard it said that you should not commit adultery. He said, but I tell you, anyone that looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Wow. Jesus says that your heart, it's that inward thing, remember? It's that inward part of you. You may not have done it in your physical body, but Jesus said you're already allowing those seeds to come in. Now, we're all going to be thankful for the scripture I close with today, I promise. See, here's what I found. There's three responses to impurity in our lives. Number one is this. The number one response is defensiveness. Well, who do you think you are? You're an old fogey. You're out of touch, preacher. You don't know what's happening in the world. You don't know what's going on. No, that's the problem. I do know what's happening in the world. But we get defensive. Well, if you understood who I had to live with, if you knew my circumstance, no. Defensiveness, that's the first. The second thing is remorse. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I wish I hadn't done that. But next week, I'll be sorry again. And the next, and the next. The third thing is repentance. And this is where we've got to get. The first two won't move you anywhere. Repentance gets you somewhere. And it's the only strategy that ultimately works, and that's true honesty. That's what repentance is. I'm going to show this to you. It's God's calling us to a place of repentance. And repentance takes true honesty in our lives of saying, I have been disobedient to God's word and what he's called me to do. And out of that is a working of transparency, accountability, confession, and forgiveness. See, repentance is not just saying, Lord, I'm sorry. That's remorse. Come on. How many of you are parents? How many of you have ever caught your kid doing something they weren't supposed to do? First thing out of their mouth was, I'm sorry. They weren't sorry. They were sorry they got caught. They got cookie all over their mouth. They're not sorry they ate the cookie. They would have ate 12 more if you hadn't come in. Right? That's remorse. Repentance, the Bible says this about repentance. The Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. That's why the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, they said, what do we do? He said, repent. You got to change your mind. You got to change your direction. And he said, and then that repentance, and watch what he said. He's saying that repentance is going to be followed by something. He said, and you'll be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promise of you, your children. He goes on through this. What is he saying? He's saying that there is this aspect in our lives that we've got to come to a place of true repentance before God. And repentance, if I am truly repentant, my actions show it. I've used a couple of terms today and I close. One of them I've talked about is sexual brokenness. And I really believe that the majority of people that I've encountered in 35 years of ministry, and I can say this pretty boldly, the majority of people that I've dealt with in 35 years of ministry are broken sexually somehow. Something happened to them as a child. Something's taken place of them. They got involved in something. They've been through more than one marriage. They've been through more than one sexual relationship, whatever it is, and there's a brokenness in their life. In fact, today, if we could really see what our heart is like, I would dare say the majority of us would have some pretty severe scars because of our brokenness in that area. The second word that I used was sexual sacrifice. This is something that we are going to have to talk about in the church. Somebody's got to be willing to say, it's not okay just to live any way we want to live. That there are some sacrifices. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. You're married. No. That's for all of us. You can't just be looking at everything, walks by and goes, whoa. No, there's some sacrifices. There's some aspects, and I want to be careful and keep this PG 13-ish today, but there's some things you got to do even if you are married. And if you're not married, to those of you, to teenagers and to young adults, and even some of us that are not so young anymore, you say, well, Pastor, what's too much? You know, we had a president had a little trouble with figuring out what is. Right? And I'm gonna say something, and I probably shouldn't say it. This is what we used to tell our teenagers when they'd ask that kind of question. We'd say, if your bathing suit covers it, nobody else ought to be touching it. You can have somebody give you the theological explanation of that. But maybe those of you who are not married, if you would set some parameters in your dating world, you might not enter your married world with so much brokenness. I'm not against you. I'm for you. I understand the whole aspect of what we're talking about today. But here's what I know. 1 John says this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But he goes on to say, but if we will confess our sins, he, God, is just and he's faithful to forgive us our sins and to, here's that word, purify us from all unrighteousness. We live in a world that is messed up. We live in a world that Hannah Montana has become Miley Cyrus, it scares the life out of me. Lady Gaga, I'm not sure what she is. Beyonce, I know what she is, because she definitely lets us know. We've got the whole aspect of what's being portrayed to us all the time is hypersexuality at every level. And you can pretend it doesn't affect the church, and you can pretend it doesn't affect believers, but I am telling you, we live in a world that is filled with sexual brokenness. And somebody has got to stand up and say, the building is on fire. And I'm that guy. I'm the guy who's going to come along and say, I love you, but God's calling you to a higher place and to a higher destiny.